Rosie and the ex-soldier. A lonely woman called Rosie is running a small holding. She grows her own vegetables. She maintains a wood where she lets her pigs roam until they're big enough to sell. She's convinced she must manage alone. But a homeless guy has started staying in the woods. She happened upon him there. She thought he was a poacher, but he seems to be an ex-soldier. They annoy each other, but tolerate each other. I was sure I heard you coughing yesterday, but I just thought to myself, what a stubborn, bull-headed man you are. I made this soup. I know you'll throw it back in my face, most likely, but I must say it's a tasty soup, and I know you'll like the bacon I put in. I get near your lair. It is a lair, as you might be a grizzly or bark, but I'll leave the cast iron pot for you to warm it up. You wouldn't waste good food. I'm just about to drop it and leave when I hear the thick coughing. I wince. That's not normal. Where are you? I hear you swearing, which just makes me tut. I've heard it all before. This time of the day, you're usually out. I've seen you up a tree watching the sunset, whittling bits of wood. I look under the tree root where you have some bedding. What the? My God, man, you look like death warmed up. I feel your head and you're scalding hot. I look at you and you have that I'm not meeting your gaze thing going on again. You're ill. Really poorly, a fool. My sympathy is there, but I can't show you I feel sorry for you. I just stand up and go back for help, muttering to myself, you're not going to die in my wood. I fetch Harry the donkey and have for fetching the heavy stuff through the wood. I ring the doctor to come over and he'll be a while. I'm fetching you inside whether you like it or not. When I return, you're almost unconscious. I tip some water down your throat. It looks like this pus down the back of your mouth. It's hard to tell in the dim light. Something like, fuck off is said, but I've heard it all before. I drag you out. You're soaked with sweat. I manage to flop you over the donkey. You stink, man. I have a blanket and kind of tie you on the sturdy little animal, though I'm sure Harry gives me a look of disdain. You smell it too then, Harry? I pull him along with you through the trees, and his sure little feet help to make it up the half mile back to the house. I'm just getting there when the doctor comes. He helps me get you into the house, and we lay you on my floor in front of the fire. I've a large, thick, warm blanket for you, and the doctor soon diagnoses flu and possible malnutrition. Maybe an ear, nose and throat infection? He gives you an injection of something and offers an ambulance. I know it would drive you insane to go to hospital. No, I'll look after him if he lashes out or anything. They'll probably section him. He just needs a few days here. I'll release him back into the wilds. The doctor laughs. He's met you when he fished the stream earlier in the summer. He takes off your clothes in case you have any injuries, and you're left laying on my floor in only some grimy shorts. I throw the lot in the wash with some disinfectant and come back to wash you. You're hot and need to be cooled. I get the soapy water and wash your poor body. It's not a bit of fat on you. Oh man, you've pushed yourself so much. Your eyes open as I wash you, shivering. You seem to see I'm drying you with a big towel. I notice you're a well-made man. I feel my stomach flip as I remember how long it's been since I touched a man's body. Your piercing eyes look calmer, and I cover you up. I sit and stay with you all night. Some rehydration liquid the doctor gave me. It smells horrid, but I force it down you. And I wake when your hand squeezes my ankle really hard. I'm leaning on the couch and suddenly I'm being pulled by the ankle. You call out the name Greg again and pull me onto my back. Your fever hasn't completely broken. Where are you getting this strength from? God only knows. I feel your grip loosen and you fall backwards onto your knees. I grab your body. You could fall into the fire. You've passed out, but tears are streaming down your face. Oh, you. Oh, you. I want to curse you, but my heart goes out to you. Obviously, it's a trauma your brain can't handle. The way you speak, I think it's obvious you're ex-military. My heart jumps when you ask, "Why did you save me?" I think you've got survivor's guilt, I'm sure of it. I know what that's like. If my husband had let me drive that day, we'd be both dead. Suddenly I see you in something we have in common. Your pain was mine once. I lay you down in the recovery position. Tears and mucus are running from you. I wipe your face and cover you up again. Your hair is matted, but I stroke it. I hear your breathing, and it's not so laboured. If your chest gets infected, I'll have to call an ambulance. The fire needs poking, so I reach for a couple more logs. But when I move the spark guard, the bark on one piece of wood just cracks loudly, and it makes you jump. You grab me. You look up. Shh. It's okay. Go back to sleep. You let your grip loosen. I move the spark card back and look at the mantel clock. 5 a.m. I lay next to you and stroke your beard. 3 or 4 flecks of grey near your ears. It makes you look years older than you are. Your nose is all grimy, and the tears have left streaks. I must insist you have a haircut and a bath. But for now, this morning, I'll just let you feel close by. I pull the blanket over my legs and tell you a story. My voice I try to shape like I did once for my husband. Soft and gentle. Soothing, I hope. I wait for an hour and then get up to make myself a hot drink. You look better. I feel your head and face. Your temperature is better. I go and get dressed and make some scrambled eggs. I don't know how long it's been since you've eaten, or even if you can keep food down. I put a pillow under your head. You're so used to sleeping rough, but you don't shift. You just open your eyes a little. I know I usually scowl, but today I can't. I smile and you don't look like you recognise me. I pick up some egg on the fork and offer it. There's no recognition in your eyes. Come on, you have to eat. Try some. You manage, and your hands are gripping the blanket though. You look so hollow. But then you say my name. Rosie. Yes, you're a bloody nuisance. Almost made me worry about you. I wrinkle my nose. It made you smile a bit. You look to see that you're indoors. Eat a bit more. You look at me as you finish the eggs. You're not used to having a soft pillow under your head and somebody helping you. Then you ask that question again. Why How did you save me? I look at you and revert back to my scowl, talking with your mouth full. But as you look, I see your eyes for the first proper time. They have a depth that makes my heart skip. I smile, though I'm a bit mischievous. I told you why. I can't have you dying. You stink up my wood. Now eat. I've got stuff to get on with. I'm trying to be brusque, but you see through me, and I see your lip curl at the corner. Our begrudging friendship and growling interactions have been something I've kind of started to look forward to. Planning something to moan about when we bump into each other. I think I've been the only regular conversation you've had for a long time. I go to a quieter, softer tone. Look, I vouch for you. The doctor wants you to go into hospital, but you can stay here. I do have one requirement, though. Take another bite and look up. I know you're probably going to resist, but you have to take a bath and have a haircut. You look at me. You don't really want to stay, but you're too weak. Begrudgingly, you nod. You tell me that I don't need you here and that you're in trouble. It doesn't bother me. But my face certainly puckers up again with a stench coming from you. When you see me scowling, your cheeks turn a little red. I smile. Look, I know you'll feel better if you're clean and fuzz-free. I take a piece of scrambled egg from your beard and wipe my finger on the edge of the plate. I turn and reach for the coffee mug I brought for you. The strap falls down on my shoulder. I quickly pull it up and pass you the hot drink. I think my face is going to heat up now. Can you stomach some coffee? You shake your head. What about some tea with a bit of honey in it? That seems better. I take the mug of coffee. I'll add it to my watering. Coffee's good for the vegetables. So I'll make you a cup of tea and get the honey out. It's nourishing and it's antiviral. I like to have some every time I'm feeling a bit off colour. I'm glad to make it for you. And I fetch some towels that I've folded. I bring them through. I'm glad you've agreed to my request. You are trying to walk weakly through to my bathroom. I find my late husband's razor and scissors and then get out the hair clippers in case that's easier. But I see you have sat on the edge of my bathtub. The shower is over it, but you don't look like you can hold yourself up. Have a bath. It's less work than a shower. You're still weak and look, I'll help you. Wondering how I will, without embarrassing you, though. I won't look. Keep your boxers on in there. I reach over and put the plug in and turn the water on. I face you and hand you the tea. You have a few sips. The bright white tiles reflect the morning sunshine, making you look so pale. But those deep eyes are so distracting. I drop a towel on the floor, sigh and pick it up. My late husband used this stuff, and I point to the clippers and the razor. I look at you again, and you're curious. Yep, I had a husband. I buried him out there for annoying me too much. I walk out the bathroom, hoping my joke covered up what I thought I'd actually I might have accidentally shown. I come back to the bathroom You've managed to get into the water. You're really relaxed. And then I notice you seem to, well, your erection is obvious. I'll just pretend I haven't noticed it. I don't really know what to do, if I should say something. So I haven't got any sheep dip. This shampoo will have to do. As I turn, I see your hands covered your predicament. So I walk round to the end of the bath with the shampoo and attempt to wash the matted mangle of hair on your head. The warm water makes you smell like a wet dog. Sit forward a bit. You seem to just let me do anything today. You must still be feeling really poorly. Your stubborn grizzly streak certainly isn't there today. I massage the sweetest smelling shampoo all around your scalp and under the top of your neck. You seem to tense up at first, but then I see your shoulders relax again. I hear you a low as I help you feel better. I notice some scars right down the side of your back, burns or maybe a skin graft. I wonder how much you were injured and how long you've been alone. Surely not ever since your tour of duty. I don't ask though. I feel like I'm full of questions. I take the hose in the shower and reach it down so that I can rinse you with it. Close your eyes. Still massaging, I hear you murmur something under the rushing water, but I just keep going. Wow, your hair is longer than I thought. Soon it's all rinsed and you lay back. Your hands are back by your sides and I see your erection has stayed too. What can I say? I think you just haven't been touched for so long. I rub your shoulders and you lay back. I silently massage your neck, your shoulders, the tops of your arms, letting the warm water run over you as if I'm washing my touches away. I'm not even sure if I should have touched you this much. Shall I leave you for a while? Your eyes snap open at my suggestion of going. Rosie, please stay, you ask me. You don't want me to leave you. There's such a yearning in your eyes. The words weren't just a simple request. Oh. What did you say? Your name's... You tell me your name. I think that's actually quite a step for you. You make my heart jump. Your reaction to my presence and my touches is so moving. I look in your eyes and I think I give myself away again as my eyes accidentally move to your cock. My mind is filled with thoughts of what I could do to a man so vulnerable. Oh, you cough a bit. I think the steamy air is good for your chest, but you're not well enough for what I'd suddenly desired. So I get some shampoo and rub your beard and then your hands join my mind for a second. You rinse your beard as I rub your jaw by dipping your chin under the water. Your body slips under and your knees come out. We look at each other. Swallow. Just relax then. Stop me if this is too much. You sit up again and I go back behind you, leaning over. I rub your chest, massaging it, and I pull my palms up over your ribs, back up to your heart, then down your back and pull slowly up to your shoulder blades. My palms are wet, my face is close to you. My breathing's hard, bending over and pressing your skin. It's effortless, but it's somehow turning me on. The water's begun to get close to overflowing. I reach down at the tap end, find the plug and pull it to let some of the water out. Its suction near my fingers makes me blush. A gargling noise as I wait, suspended for the few inches to drain. Some of the dirty scum bubbles touch my arm and I wiggle it away. I look back to see you're just as hard. I replace the plug and the water from the shower head. It makes a tinkling noise down near your side. I breathe in and you nod. I put my hands closer and take some soap and kneel. I wash your legs, rubbing towards your body, meaty calf muscles in your thighs, two hands running up each leg. I look at you and our eyes meet. I rub the stomach, the hairs around your navel, and you nod again and I rub and wash all around your balls and your pubic hair. As I touch you, your head falls back, resting on the bath. I massage you and firmly but gently touching you and wash your body, but it's not just a wash. I let my hands give you a touch that makes you moan again, though I'm almost moaning too. I rub and let my hands touch your cock. Your hand holds mine for a moment, and we wash your cock together. I'm filled with butterflies in my stomach, and you moan. Oh, God. I whisper, this intimacy has suddenly surrounded us. Only the water sounds over the soft moans. Your eyes are watching me, and I begin to draw back the skin. No longer washing you, but I've begun to give you a gift. I'm compelled to make you feel better, to feel good. I can see you need this moment and the trust you've given me. I can't stop as my hand grips you, and I see you as a man in my hands. My hands on you have made you twitch. Every stroke makes you let out a slight moan. Then I hear you. Please, Rosie, please. Your body shakes a bit. I meet your eyes. They're somewhere between scared and smiling. I realise you're pleading with me. This is so emotional. My stomach clenches and my grip tightens. I feel tears welling up in my own eyes and my throat's thick. Your voice cracks as you beg me to do this for you. I nod. I'm unable to speak. I just keep going. A moment or two is all you can bear. There's a splash on my hand and forearm. It feels hot. And your fingers are on my side by my breast, clutching my clothes. Your moan makes me pulse too. I feel your emotions so keenly. The hot water makes it set to float, foaming streaks. I don't let go. I wait for you to return from these sensations. Your hand rests on mine like an unspoken thank you, and gently, you let go. I reach for the shower head and rinse the cum away. I direct the water away from your body and you close your eyes. You better not fall asleep there. Come on, get out now. I'll help you dry and you can rest. I'm blushing as I turn and pull the plug out. I rinse you and the water drains. Some cum gets stuck in your hair and I brush it away. My heart seems to be beating really fast as you become naked again. No water to cover you. I turn the shower off and let you lean on my shoulder to get out. Your legs drip and the water runs down from your body onto the soft towel I've put on the floor. Your toenails are surprisingly well kept. Your large, bony feet next to mine. I look back up, passing you the towel. My face is hot and I can't look in your soulful eyes right now. So I use the bath to stand up and I just stand there gripping the towel. You don't seem to know what to do either. You open your mouth as if you're going to say something, but you just suddenly lean in and brush your lips on mine. I stand and watch when you put the towel around you. This naked man so close. Oh, it's all suddenly so very, very real. My eyes pass up from your feet, up past your swollen cock, now less rampant, and hanging weightily from your body. My eyes follow up to the towel you hold. I'm just about to think of something to say to deflect my emotion when your kiss is... It makes my stomach flip. I've closed my eyes and the tingle from my lips is a treasure, a precious feeling. I'm stuck standing there for a few seconds. I sigh, my hands on the towel. I dry them and I smile as I dare to look up at your eyes. It's hard to make my eyes meet yours, but I must. I have to see. I have to see what's in them. Was it just a thank you or... I'm fighting the trembling I need. I should stop myself. You're getting cold. Look, you're covered in goose pimples. I get another towel and hold it up around your chest. Come on now. I begin to rub your chest and your shoulders. Come on, come and sit back by the fire and I'll help you get dried. I'm not dismissing your kiss, I've got no idea what to do.